morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf tes. Okay, big daf today in Avodah Zarah. Really a comprehensive daf. We're going to be discussing a lot of history today. Please be prepared. And we're all going to pretend, me at the forefront, that we are historically sensitive and aware. An introduction, almost like a disclaimer to today's entire daf, you should only know that when we talk about history, so it's not as cut and dry as we're going to be discussing today. Subject to a lot of nuance and a lot of debate amongst the Rishonim and earlier in terms of the history and dating. So just one of the things that we're all going to be slightly sensitive to is just the fact that there is not one way to cut up history. I'll give you a simple example in this disclaimer, and just you should be aware. You open up any history book. Oh, I discussed this with somebody after yesterday's talk. You open up any history book, and you ask any person off the street who is historically knowledgeable. You know, when was the first temple destroyed? First temple. So they're going to tell you, well, I open up any history book and it says 586 before the Common Era, right? So and that's where you're going to find. Open up any history book. Even, you know, some of the more modern works, even the works that are based on Jewish history, and you're going to see the number 586. 586 is touted as the year of the destruction of the first temple. Okay? We today in our Gemara and in Seder Olam, which is basically, our Gemara is based on Seder Olam. Seder Olam, if you're not familiar, Seder Olam is a history book. One of the first history books that was written, compiled by Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. We're going to be quoting a lot of the Gemara quotes from Seder Olam. That gives you a sense of Seder Olam being a very, very, you know, primary source. I happen to have over here a translation of Seder Olam with a lot of commentary. But, okay. Our Gemara in Seder Olam does not say 586. In fact, they say a radically different year, 420. Right? 420 before the Common Era. So that's a tremendous discrepancy. That's a discrepancy of about over 160 years, right? That's crazy. How do we account such a discrepancy? So the simple explanation, which is not a neat explanation, is that it's a machlokus, a subject to a debate. Our tradition has it that the Persian Empire did not last that long. In fact, we're going to see today that the Gemara's assertion is that the Persian Empire lasted after the building of the Second Temple, only 34 years after that, right? Historians, world historians, have the Persian Empire going much longer, over 150 years longer. So good, so that explains the discrepancy. So good, so I'm raising awareness. This is not my expertise, but I'm just simply raising awareness that when we're talking about history now, we're going to be working with our tradition of the Gemara, the tradition of Seder Olam, and not the tradition as the world historians have it. Okay? And there's many books written about this, and if you want to research this topic on your own, please, I encourage. Okay. Where we are in the Gemara, we're on the bottom. We're on Chesam and Beis, at the two dots. And we are at the following point in the Gemara. The Gemara made the following declaration that Rome beat Greece, but only after forming an alliance with the Jews. Right? Rome had a really tough time with the Greeks. We just talked yesterday about battles, 32 battles that existed between the Romans and the Greeks, and the Romans couldn't best the Greeks. And then Rome went to Israel and went to the Jews and said, "Let's form an alliance." And the alliance actually was a partnership, and we're going to put up the king, they're going to put up the governor, they put up the king, we put up the governor. It was a real partnership that was created and honored for 26 years. So the Roman-Jewish alliance actually existed, says the Gemara, for 26 years. What we're going to start with this morning is, how do we know that number? How do we know that 26 years was the number of years that Rome and the Jewish people actually had a successful, agreeable alliance that actually lasted? Not for that long. Quarter of a century. Okay, so here we are now, bottom of the page. We're continuing. Me'ashwanim v'su lava hatani. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Malchus Paras b'fnei Abayis shloshim v'arba. Persian Empire. After the destruction. Let's do that again. After the construction of the Second Temple. Second Temple was built. Again, world history has it at sometime around 517. We are going to have it at in the 300s, 350, something like that. Yeah, 350. So, before the Common Era. So, 34 years into the Persian, into, I'm sorry, 34 years after the construction of the Second Temple, that's how long the Persians lasted, and no more than that. Rashi writes, Bizman, first Rashi on the page, Bizman, Habayis Ba'odo, Banu Lach, Shabanu Koresh, Nimshecha Machusos, Shoshim Ba'arba Shanim. Right, Koresh's empire. Now, Rashi uses the word Koresh, just historically speaking, it's not Koresh, it's Daryavesh, right, Darius, right, he was the one who finally allowed the Jews to go into the Second Temple and build the Second Temple. Okay, it's not a big deal because in that time, the word Koresh was much like Paro was used in Egypt. Everyone was Paro in Egypt. Everyone was Koresh in Persia. Fine. Okay, so, and Rashi gives us a broad stroke in terms of, here's how we're going to break up the Second Temple period. 34 years for the Persians, good. 180 years for the Greeks, okay. Fine. Umalchu mea v'shmonim, right? Harei masayim v'yud. So now we are at 210. Uvnei chashmonim natlu umalchus miyabnim umalchus kuf gimel. Now we have the chashmonim. The chashmonim took over and ruled for 103 years. Hordus Acharem Kuf Gimel, and then Hordus came and ruled for another 103 after that. Hare Dalad Meos V'Chav Shana, that gives us a 420 years. Second Temple period lasted 420 years. Shaya Bayishene B'Yishuva. Okay, and of those 420 years, we're breaking it up into 34 Persian, 180 Greek, 103 the Chashmonaim, the house of the Chashmonaim, and then 103 of the Hordus, and Hordus really means Rome, right? That's basically when we say Hordus. Hordus is really a vassal of Rome. Good. Let's go back to the Gemara. Malchus Paras b'fnei Abayis 34 shana. Malchus Yavin b'fnei Abayis 108 shana. Malchus Chashmonai b'fnei Abayis 103. Malchus Beis Hordus 103. Mikan ve'elech. Now, from that point forward, tsev chashav kama shanim achar chorban Abayis. Then you insert the year, meaning, the Bryce is talking to us, meaning, now that you know who ruled how many years during the Second Temple, after the Second Temple, now what your next date is going to be is, how many years has it been since the destruction of the Second Temple? So the Second Temple was destroyed in the year 70 of the Common Era, we're currently now in the year 2010, so we're going to insert the year 1940. 1,940 years since the destruction of the Second Temple. Alma. So what do you see from here? Masayim v'shis havu. Okay. What you get out of this is that the Greeks ended 180 years into the Second Temple and leaving a remainder of 206. Right? So the Chashmonaim started, and from the period of the Chashmonaim till the end of the Second Temple is 206 years, as we just got done saying. 103 for the Chashmonaim, 103 for Hordus. That gets us to 206. The at amart mea ushmonim havu, and you said, go back to yesterday's daf, you said that the Romans were 180 years from the destruction of the Second Temple working backwards. 180 years. So we're somewhat of a discrepancy, right? Chashmonaim started 206 years before the destruction of the Second Temple, and yesterday you said 180. Ella, so how are you going to figure this? Esrim v'shishnin kamnu behemnusa v'hadei Yisrael v'lo ishtab debuhu v'amat lohachi lo kachashav lohu. Okay, so it's very simple. So you're going to say now that 26 years, meaning 206 minus 180, 26 years, it was really Jewish rule. In other words, the Chashmonaim, who defeated the Greeks, actually created an alliance with the Romans. The Romans were not dominant over Israel. Israel was an autonomous nation, at best an alliance partnership together with the Romans, and that successful lasted for 26 years, and then, after 26 years, it was all Rome, and we were just simply subservient subjects of the Roman Empire. And that's when they spread out over Israel. Good. Okay? That takes us through the first part of today's daf. We now have a more global view of what happened during the Second Temple period. Right? Half of that period was Persian and Greek. Right? It was 180 plus 34. And the other half was Hashmonaim Roman. Right? Mostly Roman, some of the Hashmonaim period. So I mentioned earlier, the world historians have the Persian Empire lasting a lot longer than we do. We pretty much have them terminated 34 years into the building of the Second Temple, and they only started a dozen years before the building of the Second Temple. We have the Persian Empire lasting for 50 years, approximately. World historians have them lasting for over 200 years. Okay, that's a good part of the discrepancy. Amar Rav Papa. Okay, now this business with Rav Papa, we're going to see Rav Papa a lot today. He's going to come up a number of times today. He's basically going to give us ways to figure the years. Now, let's just read it and we'll work inside. Itai haitana v'lo yada prate kamehava l'shala safra kamatsi v'nitfe alai esu mishnin u'mashkech lohu l'chomrei. Okay, let's say you have a Tana, right? He doesn't know what year it is after the destruction of the Second Temple. Okay, right? Decades go by, centuries go by, and you have a Tana. Tana over here doesn't mean like one of the Tanaim, because the Tanaic period ended approximately the year 200 of the Common Era. He just simply means somebody who is learning Brises, right? A Tana Chacham. So you have a Tana Chacham sometime historically after the destruction of the Second Temple, and he's unsure as to what year it is. So what should he do? He should go to a sofer, he should go to a scribe, and ask him, what year are you writing? Okay, now, here, let me just give a couple of introductory notes. Right, scribes would write all contracts, and they would date the contracts. When would they date the contracts from? Interestingly enough, dating of all contracts takes place from, right, usually from when the king rules. But there came a point historically where they all dated from the beginning of the Greek Empire. Okay, I know that sounds strange, right? Why we should date from the beginning of the Greek Empire? It's even stranger when you consider that the Greek Empire ended, and then the Romans took over. And for reasons which generally speaking, Rome is a new empire, but really based on Greece. Rome wasn't bothered by that. So we dated all contracts from the beginning of the Greek Empire. Now there are, it is somewhat curious, as Rashi points out a couple times on this page over here. You see a lot of Rashi over here. Rashi really does his homework. Rashi goes through all the historical years. When we date from the beginning of the Greek Empire, it's not the beginning of the Greek Empire, it's actually 6 years into the Greek Empire. Okay? Okay, so for example, right, Second Temple was built, 34 years of Persian, then we say the Greek Empire starts now after the 34 years of the Persians, right? When we date from the Greek Empire, we don't date from year 35, we actually wait till year 40, and we date from that point in time. Why? So Rashi writes 40 years into the construction of the Second Temple. So Rashi's position is that because the Greeks really didn't consolidate power until 6 years into their reign. Greeks beat the Persians, but really became a world-dominating country only 6 years afterwards. That's Rashi's take, and that's why when we date from the beginning of the Greek Empire, we date not from year 34, but we actually date from year 40. So, okay, fine.
What about Alexander?
Right, so, correct. According to Rashi, I don't know how that works exactly, meaning I guess from Rashi's perspective, Rashi doesn't write this, I'm speculating. From Rashi's perspective, even Alexander didn't conquer until 6 years into his reign. Now some say, now this is not Rashi, but some people say that the reason why we waited 6 years into the Greek Empire is because 6 years in is when that whole incident takes place between Alexander and Shimon HaTzadik. We're all familiar, Alexander, after going through Egypt, comes into Israel, attacks Israel, and Shimon HaTzadik wears the big day kahuna and meets Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great stops, gets off his horse, and bows down to Shimon HaTzadik, because every time he goes into war, he has a dream of that picture of Shimon HaTzadik. So some say that that takes place in the sixth year of Alexander's reign. Okay, possibly. Again, I don't know enough to confirm nor deny such an allegation. But anyway, fine. So now Rav Papa says, let's say the Tanya doesn't know, what year is it since the destruction of the temple? So he'll go to the Sofer. Okay, now, Rashi points out that this discussion over here, when he just says he doesn't know, he certainly knows how many centuries it's been since the destruction of the temple. Like, no one's ever going to be confused. Are we 200, are we 300 years after the destruction of the temple? Now, it's interesting because we are 1900 years after the destruction of the temple. Like, you know, for us, it's been a really long time. But from Rav Papa's standpoint, where he is now approximately 300 to 400 years after the destruction of the temple, like, no one's going to be confused about what century it is. What people may get confused about is which decade it is and which year it is after the destruction of the temple. So now what you'll do, says Rav Papa, is you'll go to the Sofer. And you'll say to the Sofer, remind me, what year are you dating this year? Fine. And then the Sofer will tell you. Now remember, the Sofer is dating from 40 years into the construction of the Second Temple. Also remember, the Second Temple was destroyed. How many years after it was built? 420. Okay? So now, all you need to do, after the Sofer tells you what year it is that he's dating, is take his number, forget the century, right? Because no one's going to get confused by centuries. Take his number, add 20 to it, and that's now you'll know precisely how many years it is since the destruction of the Second Temple. If I made that clear, great. If I just confused you even more, I apologize. But that's, again, it's based on the fact that we date from 40 years into the construction of the Second Temple, because we're dating from the beginning of the Greek Empire. And again, I told you, I know that's confusing because the Greek Empire started 34 years. Just add on 6. Again, Rashi's explanation is because of consolidation, right? So good. So the week.
Does this wind up being the same 26?
No, this is now a new. This is not based on 26. This is just based on when the Greek Empire takes over. So it's from year 40. Okay, the temple was destroyed a short 180 years after. I'm sorry, not 180. 380 years after that. When you go now to your local sofer and you say, what's the date? So he'll give you the date. If let's say he's writing 20 years after the destruction of the temple. Okay? And he's writing. So he's now dating his shtar the year 400. Right? 380 from the Greeks till the end of the destruction of the second temple, plus another 20. So he's dating it for 400. So now all you do is, so he gives you the number 400, and you say, okay, you add 20 to that, and again, the century number will never confuse. And now you add 20 to that, and you'll say, oh yeah, it's now been 20 years since the destruction of the Second Temple. Okay, that's Rav Papa. And v'simancha zeli esrim shana beveisecha, and again, assuming fluency in Chumash, all you need to do is remember the pasuk of Zeli Asrim Shana Beveisecha, and now you know, oh yeah, that pasuk I had 20 years. Then Rav Papa goes the reverse. E Tai Safra, let's say it's the scribe who's confused. He doesn't know how to date the document. So now he'll go to a Tana, and he'll say, how many years has it been since the destruction of the temple? The Sofer will deduct 20, And now he'll know how to date the document. Nishal Tanaka Machashav Vinivtar Minayu as from Shnin, or Meshkech Le Lechumre, and that's how we'll get to the correct number. And again, not century, but it'll get to the correct decade and the correct year. Visimancha, and just remembering that the Sofer deducts and the Tana adds, Safra Bitsira Tana Tusfa'ah. The Sofer always deducts. What does that mean? Rashi explains that when you have a Sofer and he writes down the Torah, many times he has to remove letters. Why? Because part of the Mesorah is that certain words are written chaser. They're written deficient. So the Sofer deducts and the Tana always is going to add. Fine. Okay? That's step one of today's daf. Next part of today's daf. Tana de Be'aliyahu Sheshes Alafim Shana Havea Olam. The world is 6,000 years long. Okay? This statement of Tana de Be'aliyahu was recorded a number of times throughout the Gemara. This is not the first time that we are experiencing this prophetic viewpoint that the world will last for 6,000 years. We're currently now in the year 5,770, so we're pretty close to the end. I say very calmly. No problem. The first 2,000 years could be categorized, could be depicted as Tohu. Shnei Alafim Torah. The next 2,000 years is depicted as Torah. Ushnei Alafim Yemos HaMashiach. And the next 2,000 are going to be Yemos HaMashiach. Now the way Rashi explains this, the first 2,000 years of Torah, because, well, that doesn't need much explanation. The first 2,000 years of Torah was not given yet. When exactly the Torah is going to be given, we're going to discuss in just a moment. Fine. The next 2,000 years is when Torah was given. The next 2,000 years, the way Rashi explains it, is that there's still Torah during those next 2,000 years, but it's also eligible for the Mashiach to come. The Mashiach can come during any one of those, that third period of history, of world history. So in other words, from the year 4,000, 4,000 of course is Mibriyas HaOlam, until the year 6,000, from any one of those times, Mashiach can come. Okay? And and the only reason why Mashiach has not come up until this point in time, we are now 1770 years into the third period, right, currently. So the Gemara says it's because of our sins. That's the only reason why Mashiach has not yet come. Many other of the Mefarshim and the Gemara point out, not like Rashi. Rashi says during that third period of world history, Mashiach can come, but it's still it's Zman Torah. Many Rishonim point out that you can understand the Gemara much more literally, which is that during that second third, from the year 2000 to the year 4000 is Torah, from the year 4000 to year 6000, there's a diminishment of Torah. In fact, if you think about it, when does this middle third period take place? So it opens up in the year 2000, right? Obviously, Mibriyas HaOlam. As we're going to point out in just a moment, that's the birth of Avraham. Mm-hmm. Okay? Not exactly. Okay? Right? Not exactly, but right around that period in time. That's when Torah is introduced into the world. And then when does it end? Obviously, from the year 4000, Mibriyas HaOlam. But what is that in terms of our historical knowledge base? That's approximately the year that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi dies. Approximately. Right? Give or take. More take than give. But we're talking right around the period when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi dies. And that is really the end of the period of the Tanaim, the end of the period of the Mishnayos, and to a certain degree, it's kind of downhill from there. Gemara, Machlokis, and there is a diminishment of Torah from the year 4000 till wherever we are right now, which is 1770 years into that third period. Okay. Now, the Gemara goes over each one of these thirds. Shnei alafim Torah me'emas, inema mimatan Torah. So when does this middle period begin? Meaning, what exactly marks the beginning of Torah? So it's not when the Torah was given. Ad hasha leka kula hadechi me'anta bei trei alfa prate dehay alfahu dehave ela and dehay alafahu. The Gemara points out the Torah was given into the third millennia. To be specific, the Torah was given the year 2448. Okay? Rashi goes through the history. We're not going to go through the Rashi together. Okay, 2448, that's your magical number. That's the number that the year that the Torah was given. 2448 years from the creation of the world. So, that's a halfway through the third millennia. Okay? So clearly that's not the marking point of this middle period of Torah. So what happened in the year 2000? So Elam Es Nefesh Asher Asu Becharan Ugemiri De Avram VeHaishaita Bar Chamshin VeTartei Hava. Avram was born in the year 1948. Right, I know that sounds great, that sounds cool, because we know 1948 is the establishment of the State of Israel, and that's extraordinarily exciting. But please keep in mind, though, that the year 1948, establishment of the year Israel, is based on an arbitrary assignment that we're going to start counting the secular years from, right, the birth of Jesus, whatever. In other words, that's not a significant number in of itself. Of course, the establishment of the State of Israel is significant, but fine. It's a great way to remember. Avram was born in the year 1948. Okay? 52 years later, now that's not based on Pesukim and Chumash, that's based on a Masorah tradition that the Gemara over here says. Now, I know it's a tradition, because the Gemara opens up with the word Gemiri. Gemiri means, it's a tradition that Avraham, at the age of 52, started proselytizing. Like, going out there, spreading the good word, right, sharing the faith. That happened when Avram is 52 years of age. Now, Midrashim give us various reports in terms of when Avraham really started getting turned on to monotheism, when he started broadcasting monotheism. But our Gemara, Avodah Zarah, Daf Tes, tells us Avram did so at the age of 52. Okay? Kama batzram miditani tana arba me'av arba v'tam yishin avi kemiyant be'am en nefesh asher sebucharan adman Torah arba me'os Arba me'el v'arba im v'tam yashin havyat. You go from that point forward, and then again, Rashi does the math, and we're not going to do it. It's 448 years later, the Torah was given. Okay, good. Great Tosos over here. Tosos over here writes the following. I spoke out this Tosos before. Af agav dechsiv Avram ben Chamesh Shanim v'shivim shana b'tseiso me'charan. When did Avram leave Haran? Meaning, let's give ourselves a little biographical sketch of Avram. We have him now at 52 proselytizing and starting spreading the good word of monotheism to everyone in Haran. Haran is outside of Israel, somewhere to the east, somewhere in Bavel, somewhere near Bavel. Fine, that's Haran. Now he leaves Haran and moves to Israel at 75. Rashi, why does Tosfos say that? Because that's a pasuk in Chumash, right? It's so funny, by the way. It's like the third pasuk in Lech Lecha. And you ask anyone, right? How old was Avram when he went to Israel? And I don't know why. It's just not common knowledge, even though it's a simple pasuk in Chumash, that he was 75 years of age. Tosos is bothered by the fact that, right, Tosos then goes on to write, they say so mecharan, shtei yitzio tzavei sharei bevriz ben abasarim haya ben shivim. Avram was 70 years old at the Bris Ben Besarim. English translates as to covenant of the pieces.
Between
the pieces. No good English translation. Whatever. Bris Ben Besarim, Avram was 70 years of age, and Tosos assumes he was in Israel. So, right, Tosos doesn't articulate this as a question, but basically Tosos is saying, I'm so utterly confused. Avram at 70 was in Israel. Avram at 75 is going to Israel. Right, like, help me. Like, what happened? The Az Haya Be'eretz Yisrael v'shuv chazal v'charan. So Tosfos gives us now a quick sketch. Avram went to Israel at 70, went back to Haran. Right, we don't know this based on Pesukim. We're just piecing this together based on the little information that we know. Went back to Haran. V'asa sham chameshanim. Right, 5 years in Haran. Kidisa b'seder olam. Look in Seder Olam, you're going to find this all in Seder Olam. Over Parakama de Shabbos, Harachti Heitev. And if you look over in the first Parak in Shabbos, I talked about this at length. The Rush writes in Yevamos, in the sixth Parak of Yevamos, that he tried to make Aliyah. It's such a tangible Rush. He tried to make Aliyah at the age of 70, and it didn't work. It was a failed attempt at Aliyah at the age of 70, and then he tried again 5 years later. Right? It's a great Rush. Anyone?
How would actually then go at 70 if it was before Lech Lecha? That's one thing which is strange.
Correct. In other words, then you lose the Mukta Ma'ucha B'Torah. Yeah, right, Steve, you're absolutely right. The Bris Ben Abasarim is told to us, reported to us later in Lech Lecha, and you're correct. And that historically takes place according to Tosos. And according to the Rush.
No, I don't mind now.
Oh, fine. Oh, good.
I'm just saying that if he went at 70, meaning like, yeah. But the impotence for Abraham to go and the actual Nisayon was actually when Hashem told at 75, a lech lecha, a meretz.
Right, at 70 it wasn't a mitzvah per se. Right?
Yeah.
Right. And why he went just for Brisbane and Mitzrayim, I don't know. The Rush posits that he went because he tried to make Aliyah, like he tried to do it.
Well, it had to be, yeah, I guess it wasn't Mitzrayim.
Right. Correct. Okay. Let's go forward in the Gemara. Okay. Amar Rav Papa. Okay. Next. Rav Papa part two of today. There are going to be three Rav Papas today. Second Rav Papa. Amar Rav Papa, Yitai Tana V'Layada, Pratik HaMahavai. Let's say that you have a Tana, and you don't know which year we are in after the 4,000 year period, right? In other words, now we have given ourselves another mile marker in history, which is the year 4,000. And the year 4,000 marks now the end of Torah and the beginning of the Yemos HaMashiach. And you just simply want to know, how do I do that? How do I now go backwards and know how many years has it been since year 4,000 from Bria's Olam? So what do you do? L'shein l'safra, kama hava v'nitfe alai arba mitamne. So go to your sofer, again, find out what year he's dating, and then add 48 years to that. Again, Rashi says the same thing. We're going to assume that you know which century it is, right? That, you know, in other words, that's too big a number. It's too large a number. No one's going to be confused about which century we are after the year 4000. It's just a question of which decade and which year it is after the year 4000. Go to your sofer. He'll give you the year, and then you just simply tack on 48 years after that, Mishkach Lulu Chumrah, V'simancha, Arbaim Ushmonim Ir. And then just a mnemonic to help you remember, the number 48 cities of Levium in Eretz Yisrael. V'itai Safra, and now we're going to go the other direction. If the Sofer doesn't know, and the Sofer wants to know how many years has it been since the year 4000, Nishal Tana, so let him allow him to go ask the Tana. Katani v'nivtzar minayu arbaim v'shmonem u'mishkach lehu l'chumrei v'simancha safar b'tzira tana tusfa. Just simply deduct 48, and that's how you'll get to the year. Right? Good. And that's how you get to the year. And again, the same mnemonic that we mentioned earlier, the sofer is less, because as we discussed earlier, the sofer always deletes and takes out letters as per the Masorah, and the Tana adds. Good. So far today, we have now discussed the dating from, first of all, the entire Second Temple period, right? How to divide the Second Temple period. We talked about the 26-year alliance that was created between the Jews and the Romans. We talked about dating documents from the time of the beginning of the Greek Empire, which was, on one hand, 34 years into the Second Temple period. We add 6 years, so it's really 40 years into the Second Temple period. All documents are dated from that period in time, that historical period. By the way, the Avram was born, let's just do this. Avram was born in the year 1948. The Torah was given in 2448, right? The dating, the temple was built in the year, I had this.
Is it 9-something?
Huh?
Is it a 987 or something?
Like that? Oh, I had this. Oh, 3448? Okay. Huh? No, I'm talking about Bria Sa'olam.
It was going like 800 years after.
It was 3448. No, you're
2929?
Huh?
2929?
No.
It was started 3628.
3628.
It was 4 to 10 years.
Right. Okay, fine.
So
okay.
32.
Okay, 1948 is the birth of Abraham. 2448 is the giving of the Torah. Temple was built 480 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? That's recorded in the beginning of Malachim. Okay, fine. It'll give you a historical sense. Okay, last topic for today. Okay, Shemitah. What's our story with Shemitah? Okay, when do we If we're not sure which Shemitah year we're in right now, so how do we calculate? Okay. There's going to be a lot of... This is going to be complicated. Okay? And the... I'm telling you right now. And the reason why this is going to be so complicated is based on the fact that there are many issues to take into consideration, which is subject to a debate. And even in the Gemara kind of glosses over all this. But once you know all the debates, and once you take into account all the debates, you get confused. Okay, let me give just a brief word of background in terms of all this discussion, in terms of figuring out which Shemitah year we're in right now, and we'll go to the Gemara. Okay. When did we start counting Shemitah? So the simple answer is when we went into Israel, when Yeshua went into Israel, but not exactly, because first we had to do is we had to conquer Israel. It took 7 years to conquer Israel, 7 years to divide Israel. So year 15, after we enter into the land of Israel, then we start counting the Shemitah years. Okay? So that takes place year 15 after Yeshua goes into Israel. Good. And we count the Shemitah years during the first temple. Now, I say counting the Shemitah years, that should sound simple, right? Seven, 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 right? It shouldn't be so complex. It is complex. Because we know that the 50th year is Yovel year. Okay. Now, let me ask you the following question. 49. The year 50 is a Yovel year. Is that a year independent of the Shemitah cycle? So in other words, do we go 7, 14, right, 21, all the way to 49? Then 49 is obviously a Shemitah year. Then 50 is a Yovel year. And then we start counting again. The next year is going to be year 1 of the Shemitah cycle, etc., etc. Or, no, Yovel is the 50th year, but also doubles as year 1 of the Shemitah cycle. So which one is it? Okay. Correct answer is? Machlokas. Good. Well-versed Talmidei Chachamim. So that's subject to a machlokas. Tanayim. That's a machlokas tanayim. Okay, how do we paskin? Machlokas. Machlokas between Rambam and Tosfos, whether or not we count, whether Yovel is an independent year or not. Okay, so now, you already know, it's just not simple. Now, I know, by the way, I already hear some of you thinking, it's unbelievable, I can read minds, I already hear some of you thinking, how can this possibly be a machlokas? Meaning they went through history, right, hundreds of years of the first temple, hundreds of years of the second temple. Goodness gracious, don't they know how they counted? And it's a great question that you thought and didn't ask. I'll ask it. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. That's part of the diminishment and part of the loss of Torah that we have, that even though they went through those years historically, we don't know. We simply don't know how to count Shemitah year. Such a...
It's a recording of when the last recorded Yovel Shemitah was that was...
Correct. If we knew all that, so then this wouldn't be subject to a debate. It's just, it is strange.
There was a Google back then. What
do you do right now? You've got to go by Rambam or by...
I'll get to that. Okay, that's number one. Okay, so that's your first thing that you need to take into consideration. You want to put that into the hopper. That's the first thing that goes into the hopper. Whether or not Yovel is an independent year, or it is part of the Shemitah counting. Okay, then the first temple lasted for 410 years. After the destruction of the first temple, we went into a 70-year exile. Right? Started with the Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, then transferred over to the Persians. Persians took over, and we were in Babel for 7 years. Dariavesh told us, go ahead, build the second temple. Ezra goes back with a small representative group into building the second temple, and we start counting Shemitah again. Even though we started counting Shemitah again, it's Shemitah minus Yovel, right? In fact, it's not only Shemitah minus Yovel, it's not even really Shemitah. Why? Because at that point in time, historically, we are only two of the remaining 12 tribes, of the original 12 tribes, right? We came into Israel with Yud Beis Shvatim, with 12 tribes. I don't count the Levim. They do not have a Chelek in Eretz Yisrael. And Shemitah is only counted min HaTorah only when there is representation from all 12 tribes in Israel. During the first temple period, Sancheriv comes in from Assyria, from Ashur, knocks out 10 of the tribes, just simply displaces them, Hence the 10 lost tribes. We don't know where they are. We're soon to learn that the 1 billion Chinese people are really Jews. They are right. There is that discussion that some of them were brought back, but the general position is that they're no longer there. So even when Ezra comes back, he only comes back with Jews from the tribe of Yehuda, Jews from the tribe of Binyamin. By the way, that's why we are called Jews, because Jews, we are basically represented. We are Judeans. We are from the tribe of Yehuda. Right, Binyamin is kind of ancillary to Yehuda, with all respect to Sheva Binyamin. But that's why. That's why we're called Jews, because we really only are representative of the tribe of Yehuda, primarily. So, and then we go back in, and even when we're counting Shemitah again, we're only counting Shemitah on a rabbinic level. It's not Shemitah Midaraisa, because we don't have all Yud Beis Shvatim. Okay. On top of that, one more thing to keep in mind. The Gemara in Erech, and Rashi quotes it over here. It's a Gemara in Erech, and it's a Gemara in Tanis. Rashi quotes it. The temple was destroyed the year after Shemitah. Okay? Take all that information, process it, chew it, try to digest it, and it'll help us get through the next bit of Gemara.
First or second?
Second temple. Both, actually. The Gemara in Tanis says both. Both temples were destroyed the year after the Shemitah year. Okay, fine. Good. Now let's go into our Gemara. Haiman, Amar. I'm sorry, I thought it was going to be Rav Papa. Okay? Incorrect. Amar Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua. Okay, not Rav Papa, but another Amar. Haiman de lo yada kamashne b'shavu hava. You don't know what year you're in. You're in the Shemitah cycle. So, who amid? So, nitfei chad shasa. So the first thing you do is take the year you're in, okay, add one, okay, add one, add one, okay. Why is that the first part of the instruction? Very simple, based on what I just told you. The temple was destroyed the year after the Shemitah year. So all you're going to do now is take whatever year you're in, post-Shemitah, add one, that'll reset the clock, that'll get you back. V'nechshav klale b'yovle uprate b'shavua v'nishkal mimea trei v'nishte aprate v'nechshavinu aprate b'shavua v'yada kamashne b'shavua. Okay. Take the number. Now, can I give it to you simply? Allow me, please. Divided by 7. Okay? The Gemara doesn't do that. The Gemara has a somewhat more complicated math system where they first do they divide the hundreds by 7, and then they divide the decades and the years by 7. Okay, it comes out the same. In other words, for every decade, basically, if you divide the number by 7, 98 divides evenly by 7. So for every decade that passes after the destruction of the Second Temple, you're always going to walk away with a remainder of 2. So what the Gemara's instructions are first take the number of centuries after the destruction of the temple, and for every century that passed, take 2 years off of that, because those are the remainders after dividing by 7. Okay, I'm just going to tell you, right, I'm a little bit versed in math. It works just as well if you take the whole number and divide it by 7. So it's the same thing.
Whole number after you add a 1 to it.
After adding one. No, the adding of the one is necessary. Correct? Absolutely correct. So v'yada kamashne b'shavua v'simancha ki zesh nasaim ha-ra'av b'kerev ha-aretz. And again, just another mnemonic to help you remember that for every century, you take off 2 years. And again, that's because every century is, you take 100 divided by 7, it's 98 remainder 2. Okay, fine. Okay, where does that leave us? Okay? Meaning, if we use this methodology, does it work? The year that we're currently in right now, the year 5770, is that going to, if we use this method as provided by the Gemara, is that going to work? Is that going to take us to the correct Shemitah year? And unfortunately, I'm now off the daf. Okay. Unfortunately, the answer is no, it won't. It won't get us to the correct year. The next Shemitah year that we're going to be experiencing is going to be the year 5775, right? Based on what we practice nowadays. 5775 is going to be the next Shemitah year. Okay? If you go back, 5775, and go back to the destruction of the second temple, 70. And even if you add one, it's not going to work out. Do the math, right? It's going to be great homework for tonight. Do the math, and it's not going to work out exactly.
That assumes Yovel is not independent.
Correct. Assuming Yovel is not independent. Now, it happens to be, again, going back to what we discussed earlier, this is the entire approach that we're going through right now is a Rashi Tosfos approach, which is don't count Yovel. The Rambam happens to maintain that Yovel is an independent year, and so from the Rambam's perspective, you are operating with a whole different grid, right? It's not the presentation I gave this morning is just Rashi and just Tosfos, okay, and not Yovel. Also, just another interesting note, Rashi and Tosfos also have a strong argument. I'm just highlighting over here, there's so much. Rashi and Tosfos have a strong argument what year the temple was destroyed. Was it destroyed 420 years after it was constructed or 421 years after it's constructed? That's subject to a debate between Rashi and Tosfos. Again, something else to highlight out of today's daf as well. Okay, there's just a lot. There's a lot to go over. How do we reconcile the system that we use now versus what Rashi and Tosfos is presenting, which is essentially what the Gemara is presenting, and that is divide the number between now and the destruction of the second temple after adding one, and that's what year it should be. And how do you reconcile that? So that is subject to a major discussion outside of the daf, off the daf. But just be aware of the fact that it doesn't work out precisely. By the way, just one end note to this entire discussion. I know this is so simple, but if you take the year that we're in right now, which is 5770, divided by 7, right? In other words, going back to Brias HaOlam, it works, right? I'm not saying that that's... Huh? It works meaning that corresponds to the correct Shemitah cycle, what we do today. Meaning, I told you, the next Shemitah cycle is 5775. If you take that number divided by 7, you'll get no remainder.
But that's based on...
It's not based on any... It's just the way it works. It's just... That's how it works. But that's not what the instructions of the Gemara are. The instructions of the Gemara are very clear. Don't go back to the creation of the world. Go back to the destruction of the second temple. Which makes sense. Meaning, because we know, based on other Gemaras, the temple was destroyed a year after Shemitah. So if you take that year and add one to it, it should go back to then. I'm just pointing out, the way we work it, it doesn't. And that's, you know, and that's subject to a major discussion, how that happened.
We don't date documents from the date we received the Torah, do we?
No. It's interesting, we don't. We date it from the time of the Greek Empire. Up until a certain point in history. We nowadays, all our documents go back to Brias HaOlam. To the beginning of the world.
So the Shemitah year that you have now is based on Rashi and...
Huh?
The Shemitah year that you're going by now is by...
It's based on nobody. I mean, I know that sounds confusing, but it's not. It's not based on Rashi. It's not based on Tosfos. How did that come about? So again, it's well beyond the scope of our Gemara, but I'm just... Right now, we're just slightly more educated. We're more informed that if you work with the Gemara's dating system and you work with Rashi and Tosfos, we're a little bit off.
The good news is
that Shemitah is universally accepted.
Yeah.
However we're following it.
But we're doing it from the beginning of time right now. So that's what they're in Israel. So
yeah, correct. But I'm just saying it works out that way. I'm not suggesting we're doing it because it's Brias HaOlam. Okay. Oh. It just works out that way. One more little piece of Gemara for today, and then we're going to conclude. Amar Rabbi Chanina Echad Arba Meos Achor Ben Abayitim Yom Lecha Adam. 400 years, amazing Gemara. 400 years after the destruction of the temple, someone goes over to you and says to you, Kach Sadeh Shava Elef Dinarim. Look, I got a great real estate deal. Okay? Here's a land, it's worth 1,000 dinarim. B'dinar Echad, I'll sell it to you for 1 dinar. Now I know that sounds like Ona'a. It's about, ain't Ona'a Karkos. There's no Ona'a by Karka. Don't think about this in a halachic legal sense. Just appreciate what he's trying to say just from a historical standpoint. In other words, here you have a land that's worth 1,000 and I'm selling it to you for $1. Just for $1, lo tikach. Don't take it. Don't take it. Because he believes, Rashi spells this out, he believes that Mashiach is coming. And once Mashiach comes, You're going to lose the land. So you're going to lose that dollar. So don't even though the land don't buy that land even for a dollar. Tana Acher Arbas Alafim Mamasai Mushal Shva Achashan Labriasa Olam. Now in the Tana, in the Braisa, it essentially gives us pretty much the same statement, just a different cheshman, a different accounting. From 4,231 years after Bria Sa'olam, after the world was created, if someone comes over to you and says, here, would you buy this land for a thousand, and that's worth a thousand, just buy it for $1, al tikach, don't do it. Okay? Obviously, the Braisa and Rav Chanina was of the firm belief that Mashiach was on the way. Like, so strongly that they gave financial advice. Now, we'll say, right, circa 1,800 years later, they gave bad advice. Mm. Right? Hindsight, it's easy to say those things with hindsight, right, that they gave bad financial advice. But they firmly believed that Mashiach was on its way, to the point where they said land has no value because Mashiach is coming. Just the Gemara reconciles that the 400 years that Rabbi Chanina gives after the destruction of the temple versus the 4,231 years given by the Braisa, if you plot them, it comes out that the Braisa is just 3 years ahead of Rabbi Chanina. But essentially, they were looking at the same period in time, right, 3 years off of one another, in which they firmly believed that Mashiach was on its way. Okay? Again, it's in hindsight, it's easy to say, wow, they were off. But from what they knew and what information they had, this was their firm belief. Okay? Stop over here. Continue tomorrow.